welcome to this third and final hour of this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. We had a fantastic interview in the last hour with Marty Angelo. He is staying with us for a little bit into this hour, and we're going to be taking some phone calls. If you have a question for Marty, 844-769-2944 is the number. That's 844-769-2944. And then after we're done taking calls with Marty, we're going to be taking calls for the rest of the show. Before we get to the calls, Marty, can you tell us a little bit about your book and maybe some things about your book that you didn't talk about in the first hour?
Yeah, thanks for asking, Ted. You know, this test, it's really a biography, autobiography of what my life was like in the entertainment business and what brought me to Christ. That story that I told about showing up at my sister's in there and what happened while I was in prison and how got me out of prison and what I did for many years up to 2006. That's when I finally released the book. And then we've given away thousands of these books throughout all of the nation's prisons and jails and rehabs. And in fact, I got such feedback from people that read the book that I published some of their letters. And I call it Letters from Prison, Lives That Matter. And very, very touching stories. I thought my story was something, and I was bad, but boy, you get some letters from guys that are doing some serious time, and where your story touches them in a way. You know, books are great in prison. They guys don't have anything else to do but to read and watch television and work out, and so it was a good vehicle. And so I make it available. In fact, if any of your listeners, they can buy it for 99 cents on Kindle, but if they have a loved one that's in prison or in a rehab somewhere, I'd gladly send the copy, autographed copy, to that person in the jail or the rehab. So they could write me at my website, Marty Angelo or Once Life Matters, and find my contact and send me an email with the person's name and where they're located, and I'll gladly send one out free. That's part of my regular ministry. That's what we do with all of my books, and also books that some friends of mine that I've met over the years have published. And it's quite a ministry.
Yeah, that's, you know, it's, I've been to the jail myself, and as you said, there's not much to do in there except read and, you know, play cards and, and talk with people. But when in your own experiences, did you find that people were going to church or involving themselves in the Bible to kill time, or did you see actual real interest in?
That's a great question, because I would say. There was a small group that were really dedicated Christians that were walking the walk and witnessing to people, testifying to people and reaching out, having Bible study and singing. And there was a church, there was many different denominations, and it was a convenience to a lot of people. I mean, cause I used to stand near the garbage can, every day. I checked the garbage can by where they would release inmates from. You'd go to the certain door, and a lot of guys would leave a lot of their junk in the garbage can, and you don't know how many Bibles I used to fish out of that garbage can. And I even asked guys when I go into prison, one of the first questions I ask, and I always start with questions, I don't start with a testimony or a sermon, I ask them, how many of you have been here before? Christians. Now, this isn't a chapel service. And honestly, most of them raise their hands. And I asked them, I said, well, why would you become a Christian? You know the benefit of being in prison, and you got your life straightened out. Why would you go out and run back? And that was what Chuck Colson wanted. That's why I was assistant aftercare director. We developed programs because we started to identify the major issues of what people had when they got out of prison. But it was mind boggling to me. And I found out that 3 out of 4 go back to prison. in California, within the first year, nationally, statistics is in the first 3 years. And so you play games with God. And that's why I'm so serious about my walk and my books that I write, is that Christ comes and lives in you. And he doesn't leave you. The Bible says he'll never leave you nor forsake you. You're the one that leaves him. And a convict kind of plays these footsie games with God, you know. Well, he's not looking. He's busy over in Africa helping somebody. You know, they don't have a complete grasp of the Bible of that Paul talked about, was the mystery of the gospel, is Christ lives in you. And so, that's something to study. And, you know, at the time I did, I graduated from 4 Bible colleges, and I took the time. I let time serve me, and I wasn't playing any games. I was serious because, man, my old life was a wreck. And so if he saved me, he's real. And I think that's the difference between any religion, Muslim, Jewish, you name it. The living God comes and lives in you, and you know it. And there's no other religion that does that. I mean, they may talk about God. You may know God up in your head. But when you have Christ, the living God of creation, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, come and live in you, nah, man, I'm in. I'm in.
Absolutely. I got an email question from Bill, and I'm going to paraphrase this. Mm-hmm. Anybody that you used to run with or be associated with in the musical, hanging out with the Jimi Hendrixes, mm-hmm. and such, that were into the same lifestyle as you were, come out on the other side with this faith as you do.
There are some now that I've met along the way. Not too many of the guys that I, when I was in the business. Now, again, that was a long time ago. I'd been 35 years. So most of the guys that I came up through with are dead, or there's a couple that when I got out of prison, I worked at a place called Faith Farm, and it was like a Salvation Army. They sold used appliances and used furniture and this and that. And the band that I used to manage, the Grassroots, was featuring Rob Grill, did a concert on the beach in Fort Lauderdale, and this was in Fort Lauderdale. And the promoter said, hey, you know, Marty's out of prison. You got to go see him. He's over in this place called Faith Farm. So Rob Grill came over with his guys in this big old black limo, all pot smoke coming out the window when he pulled in, because I was outside selling appliances, and that was part of my job. They hired me, and I was thankful that I got a job in a ministry. And anyway, he came up to me, and he jumped out of the car, gives me a hug, and goes, Marty, you know, hey, what are you doing, man? When are you going to snap out of this stuff? I got your letter telling me about Jesus. But I mean, you know, this is, now you're out. Get in the back of this car, man, and come back out to Hollywood with us. You were the best manager we ever had. I said, Rob, I wouldn't get in that car if you gave me $1 million. But you know something? He never forgot that moment. And I saw him a couple years later, and he's now passed away. I spoke at his memorial service a few years ago, and he told me, he says, Marty, this was 2 years later, I saw him in Maryland, and he said, I'll never forget that, Marty. You had such a peace about you, and you were so sincere. And Marty, I know how you were, because we did a lot of things together, bad things together, and you would have gotten that car and you would have gone back to Hollywood with me in no time at all if it was old party Marty. And I said, I know, Rob. Christ loves me, changed my life, and he'll change yours. So I witnessed to him, and then right before he got sick, he had this really great spiritual experience with Christ. And, you know, sometimes you got to get down, man, where you're almost dead, to where you appreciate it. And then once mm-hmm. that happens, you go, gee, I wish this would have happened sooner.
In my own personal experience, you know, when I went to jail myself, it was the worst experience of my life. But looking back on it, mm-hmm. it couldn't have happened any other way, because it had to happen that way for me to change the things and have the changes, the things that needed to be changed in me. It needed to happen that way. And it's amazing the things that you live through that you think are the most terrible things that you've ever experienced, but yet after a little bit of time passes, you look back and you you wouldn't change it for the world, and you're so thankful that it actually happened to you. It's pretty strange.
It's my friend of mine wrote a book called The Prison Moment, and when I had this prison moment, when I was in prison, it was the happiest I ever was in my life, and I realized at that point that I was in a worse prison right? When you talk about prison, it might not have been bars, but I was in a worse prison out of prison when I was living that old lifestyle. And that was the blessing of prison, because at least I knew I was in prison.
Very true.
And it wasn't going to keep me forever. And thankful that if that's what it took, then that's what it took.
Well, Marty, we have a few calls.
Okay.
We're going to go to Deborah in Missouri. Deborah, you're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report with Marty.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Deborah.
Hi. I just wanted to call and tell you that as you were sharing your testimony, it brought tears to my eyes because the life and the light and the love of Jesus. It's like no matter how dark your world is or anyone else's world is, when you turn to the Lord, it's like light floods in and love floods in. And it's so touching. I want to encourage you to keep sharing with people because people are not always at that place where it may seem like they receive what you're saying, but just like your sister kept putting those seeds out to you as God led her to, well, as God leads you to the right people that he leads you to, their response is not the main thing. It's that you're obedient because those seeds, if you're going to the people he shows you to go to, those seeds are going to grow. They're going to be watered because God knows exactly who needs to hear it, even if it looks like they're not listening.
Amen, sister. I understand you 100%. I really do.
Yeah, so I just really appreciate your testimony today. So, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for calling. I appreciate it.
Thanks for the call, Deborah.
You're welcome. God bless you.
Yeah, have a good night.
You know, we're reaching out to a lot of colleges now. You know, I really have a burden for these kids that are, I don't know what's wrong with them, man. They're going nuts.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just curious what's going to happen tomorrow, in San Francisco. But I remember those days, brother. I remember being in the same situation, and demonstrating. And when I look back, I go, what was I demonstrating? But I did have a cause. We were trying to stop the war in Vietnam.
Yeah.
But the kids nowadays seem to be just, man, they're going in a direction. And it's an individual direction, just like our sister just said on the phone. I don't know what it's going to take to get some of these folks that are radicalized and liberalized by these college professors. I don't know what it's going to take. I know what I had to go through. The Bible says you have to go through much tribulation in order to enter the kingdom of God. And the only person that's going to change any one of those people that wear those black masks and run around these college students is going to be Christ. And I'm going to tell you something. A lot of those kids are on the road to destruction. There's nothing going to be good that's going to come out of that lifestyle. Nothing. You may think that it's going to be. You may, with all your buddies and all those people that are out there doing the same thing, thinking, I don't know why they're demonstrating, because there's nothing to demonstrate against.
Yeah.
Just because we got a new president? I mean, give me a break. I mean, we were getting shot. The Ohio State National Guard came and shot four of us at Kent State University because we got so out of hand. And I just hope that it doesn't happen to this generation, and that's why I'm starting to reach out and doing some campus outreach.
And you know,
don't get me started.
Yeah, we don't have to go down that road, except I'll say, if you can get in there to speak at some of these campuses, you know, it's needed now more than ever, because as you said, I don't know where this mentality comes from, but it's very scary. We have William in West Virginia. William, thanks for calling. You're on live with the Hagman and Hagman Report with Marty.
Hi. Yeah, hi, Marty.
Hi, William.
I just wanted to ask you a question. It's a little bit off topic, but it's still a prison. I don't know if you're aware of what's going on with the mental evaluations, where they just round up people and you meet your family members to kind of declare you mentally unfit, and then you're observed for between 4 and 30 days in those mental hospitals.
Mm-hmm.
Those are a prison in themselves, and they're quite frightening, especially the other people that are mostly on people with drugs or violent or just delusional. But I just wanted to find out from you what your perspective on that is, and your ministry deals with that.
You know, we have that. You know, I live in Florida, and they have these drug courts down here. This is society's way of, you know, trying to solve a problem without Christ. And so they have these drug courts now. If you're a parent and you have a child that's out of control, either mentally or because of drugs or whatever, you can have them institutionalized. You bring them to this drug court, and the drug court will—it's like one step before you go to prison. Mm-hmm. So they're actually trying to give you a little break, and so they'll do these mental evaluations. They'll diagnose you with something, and they're trying to solve a spiritual problem with physical medical treatment. And most of those don't work. I feel sorry for some people that have gone through those types of programs. I mean, at least it is a help, but the statistics, John said it earlier, the statistics are like 90-something% don't work. It's 0 to 4% don't. That's their success ratio in those types of programs. So I don't know. And now they're throwing more money at it. I know Donald Trump, our president, has got this task force. They're going to throw $1 billion or something at the problem. And they want treatment instead of prison. And you know, they've been trying. California did this one time. They studied their prison program that had substance abuse treatment in it. And they spent $1 billion on this program over a course of 10 years. And they hired UCLA and USC to study how effective this program was. This is back when Governor Schwarzenegger was governor. And I was on a task force with them. And we're trying to convince them to do a faith-based, Christian-based program in prison. He didn't want to know anything about it. And he says, my program's successful. We studied $6 million. We got these two universities to study. And you know what this outcome of the study was? It was a complete failure. They took two groups, one that went through their drug rehab program and one group that didn't, had similar crimes. You know, you do a study. And it turned out that the people that didn't go through the program did better than the people that went through the $1 billion state of California prison substance abuse program. And Schwarzenegger was flipped out because he had the press in front of him when they announced that. He fired the person in charge because they were getting reports that it wasn't working. And the guy just filed the reports in a pile of papers, and they spent $1 billion of the taxpayers' money on a program that absolutely didn't work. And he told me he was more convinced. He was more concerned with trying to find a football team in Los Angeles, because Los Angeles went to St. Louis, and I got to find a football team. I said, well, you know, why don't you come and look at this program we designed for the Palm Beach County Sheriff's Office. The success ratio is 86% that goes through this program never goes back and commits a crime or it goes back on drugs. And his answer was no. And Jerry Brown was another governor that said no to a program that actually worked. It was evidence-based and actually had success instead of their billion-dollar bomb that didn't help anybody. So
yeah, and William, you know, from what you said, that you described a scenario where you're talking about you have the somebody who goes into a treatment center or a mental health institution willingly, and then those who go against their will. But I think Marty summed it up when, you know, that's only part of addressing the problem. You have the spiritual component where even from AA to mental institutions to drug rehabilitations don't really deal with that. And I think you know, regardless of what the treatment is or type of treatment you're going through, whether it's mental health or even a dual diagnosis with addiction, that the spiritual component is something that needs to be focused on. And too often we see psychology try to replace the spiritual component, and that's very dangerous. We're going to at least get to we have two more calls for Marty. We have Deborah. I think she keeps dropping off. We're going to go to her right now. Deborah, you're live on the Hagman & Hagman Report with Marty. What's your question?
Oh, well, fantastic. Finally. Yeah.
Sorry, Deborah.
If I may say, maybe some NSA going on. I'm ex-military, ex-sniper. But that's neither here nor there, but I finally got a hold of you. Yes, I have a sort of a stupid old nephew. Yeah, forgive me for calling him that, but he's a 43, 47 now, and I've written to him several times. But he seems to want to make his contacts back in his old world again. And, you know, and nothing that I can say as an aunt to sway him of it. And so I had to...
Is he in prison?
Cut off
the
conversation with him. Yes, he's in San Quentin. Yes.
Oh, okay.
I think the second or third time. And I will get on your site there and
please do. Send me his name.
The info.
Send
yes.
me his name, honey.
Yes.
Send me his name.
You bet,
and I'll contact
his name,
him and send him a book,
yeah.
a letter.
Mm-hmm.
He's saved.
Amen,
he's a Christian.
Well, that's the problem. He's like in between. See, he's
right.
in prison life. You know, he goes back to the theft and this and that. His whole family is Christian, and we pray
yeah.
for him mightily.
He doesn't stand a chance. Let me tell you. When he's,
yeah,
I asked
he's
that question when
for,
I go to prison. I said, "How many of you have people praying for you that know God?" And they all raised their hand. So. Believe me, your prayers are not going going to waste. God's working
well,
on this.
Well, and I do believe that you're one of the answers to the prayers. How about that?
Amen. Amen.
So God
we
bless
all,
you. Yeah.
All
yeah.
things work together for good. Thank you for calling.
You bet,
yeah.
and I'll be in touch with you this night.
Please. Thank you, Deborah.
With the info.
Much,
yes. Thank you. God bless.
Excellent.
Bye-bye.
Have a good night. All right, we got Jeff in Wisconsin next. Jeff, thanks for holding. You're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Hey, thanks
Hi,
for
Jeff.
Taking my call. My question is the program that Marty offers, I've been listening to this for a while, is it 12-step based?
Well, you know, it's not the program that we designed. I think I mentioned the program that we designed for the Palm Beach County Sheriff's Department. It was a residential treatment program. It was, but faith-based. We use curriculum from Teen Challenge and a ministry called Dunklin Memorial Camp that's been in business since the 50s that has been treating, drug addicts and alcoholics, with discipleship. And so we tweaked the program to fit into a jail setting. So the program, was, in the Palm Beach County Jail. It's called the Drug Farm. It was a 9-month to 12-month program. So instead of going to prison, the judge sentenced you to this program, and then you got assigned a counselor, a teacher, group therapy, one-on-one counseling, and a Bible, and they had homework that dealt with biblical scriptures and rehabilitation, and not rehabilitation, transformation. You know, and when you talk about rehabilitation, they're going to bring you back to what you used to be. Now, who wants that? And so I'd rather be a new creature, and so that's what we taught. And the success ratio was tremendous. It was 19 years in the program. So there are a lot of faith-based programs in the United States. Are you looking for one, or do you know somebody that needs a program
well,
like this?
I have a son that's going to be facing prison heroin.
Okay.
And he already has done, in the state of Wisconsin, there was a program called Rawhide Boys Ranch.
Okay.
And he had
okay.
troubles when he was a teenager, and I had him, every time he did something wrong, I had him violated, and I called the police.
Yeah.
Because it really just got out of control, and I realized it was beyond anything I knew what to deal with anymore, and other help was needed. But the staff there, I got to know the people well, and after getting to know them, it was a Christian-based
uh-huh.
organization, and they were disappointed in the high repeat and of people
yes.
going back to what they were doing before.
Well,
and,
it takes,
you know,
yeah, it's, how old is your son?
Well, he's about 30 now.
Oh, so he's old. But say, is he still a drug addict?
He was clean for a long time. I thought he was going to be okay. We actually gave him a car. I paid off the fines that he had left over. And within 2 months, it was right back to where it all had been before. Smashed up the car.
Yeah.
And this time he got into heroin, which, I mean,
it's not good.
I'm living up in northwestern Wisconsin in the middle of nowhere, and it's here.
Right.
It's everywhere.
It's everywhere.
Yeah. It's everywhere. Yeah. You know, there is hope. I mean, if there's there's free programs like Teen Challenge is free, Faith Farm in Fort Lauderdale is free, Dunklin Memorial Camp is free. You know, you have to kind of convince them that he wants to be there. He has to, you know, apply. It's tough. If you don't want help, that's why these programs don't work.
That's right.
They're going there for all the wrong reasons. And they think it's abracadabra, you're going to fix me because I went to a 30-day or 60-day program. But, you know, if you're not serious about wanting to change your life and sick and tired of that lifestyle, you're going to keep going down that road. And so I've seen it happen, honestly, thousands of times, brother. Not, you know, don't think you're alone there in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
It's happening to a lot of people. And if you want to contact me, you can send me an email. Just go to my website and send me an email, and I can give you my phone number, and I can talk to you and try to, you know, reach out to your son and try to, you know, help him and get into a program if he wants, or, you know, just send him a book. Maybe, you know, maybe like the lady that called before, just plant some seeds that happened with me.
And you know, Jeff, thank you so much for the call. OnceLifeMatters.com is Marty's website. And Marty, I want to thank you for hanging with us through this.
You're
segment
welcome.
And taking
hey,
calls.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
I appreciate it, brother. Keep up the great work.
And thank you. You had a fantastic testimony. And hopefully we can have you back on in the future and do this again.
Absolutely. I'd be looking forward to it.
Well, fantastic. Folks, that was Marty Angelo. His website, OnceLifeMatters.com. That's OnceLifeMatters.com. The book is called Once Life Matters. Go to Amazon, and he has put a special for 99 cents. You can get the book on Kindle. The book title is Once Life Matters. Marty Angelo was our guest. Folks who are on hold, who want to come on, who had questions for Marty, sorry we didn't get to you, but if you want to stay on the line, we will continue to take calls in through our next segment to close out the show. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
I mean, anything, everything you possibly want, from cooking utensils, cooking frying pans. I mean, it is, it'll blow you away. Absolutely, Erickson.
It's insane. I mean, wow, look at the products.
Folks, visit MasterPreps.com. Again, welcome to the Hagman and Hagman Report family, MasterPreps.com. I mean, wow, it's insane.
MasterPreps.com. Are you ready for what comes next?
Hi, I'm Grace Gonzalez from Caring Close in the Woods. We are an American family-owned company founded and built on skills and knowledge gained from responding to 18 major disasters in the U.S. and around the world. We found that most people don't have enough food and water to survive, let alone any medicinals to save their life. We are offering 25% off our must-have American Heritage Armies kit. It contains 12 homeopathic armies, a booklet that goes over everything in your kit, and our brand new book, Major Disasters Lessons Learned. Just enter coupon code HAGMAN. In life or a disaster, you must be able to take care of yourself. You may not be a medical doctor, and your grandmother and your great-grandmother probably weren't either, but they still knew how to minister to their family's health issues, and so can you. Check out our American Heritage Armies kit at www.changelessonwoods.com. Your life may depend on it.
Hello, everyone. This is Joe Charles, the guy whose voice is heard announcing for the Hagman and Hagman Report right here on YouTube and across the Global Star Radio Network. There have been many people wondering whose music is being played during those breaks. Well, you guessed it. And we're very pleased to announce that all that music and 11 brand new songs from the CD New Jerusalem is set for release on April 10th for download on iTunes. That means you can help support my ministry and be blessed by this awesome, inspiring recording. I have been fortunate to work with some phenomenal musicians from around the world that helped us put this recording together in the studio. Simply go to joecharlesmusic.com and click on the iTunes link. Or, if you'd rather have a CD, we'll send one right out to you. Just leave me your email and we'll get right back to you. And thanks to Doug and Joe Hagman for making this all possible. God bless.
edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. We are in our last segment, and we have a few callers left. We're going to take those calls. We're going to go to Christine from Texas, and then we're going to close out the calls with Maria in Virginia. Christine, welcome to the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Hi, is this Joe and Doug?
Yes. What's on your mind?
Can you hear me? I just wanted to say thank you and God bless you for your show. I've been listening to it for years. It's been very informative and very helpful for me. I've been struggling with my own set of problems. I wanted to tell Mari thank you. I do have an addiction myself because I have several spinal problems and I don't know what to do. And the doctor just cut me off my medicine, so I've turned to other things as a result of that. I don't know what to do. I'm kind of stuck up against the wall because I can't really walk without my medication. So, you know, and I just wanted to give you guys, like, a kudos and a thumbs up and to say thank you guys for, you know, everything. You guys have been wonderful, very informative throughout the years, and I can't thank you enough for everything. I've learned so much, and I've become a better person because of your show and become a better Christian because of your show. I know I mess up, but I know I'm a sinner, and I know I have my issues, but it's kind of hard. You know, I have a parvo cyst, I have a spinal cyst on my spinal cord, I have a herniated disc, and I have degenerative disc disease, spinal stenosis, and nobody believes me that it's from vaccinations and from fluoride and all that stuff, so it's really hard to get through to people and get them to understand why I'm like this, and, you know...
Christine, let me ask you a question. You don't gloss over this too quickly. You said that you turned to other things when the doctor cut you off medication. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Did I hear that right?
Yes, I did.
First of all, I understand more than anyone, I understand what's going on out there, but why do you cut you off your medication?
Well, I got SSI recently, and this was like my mother-in-law's doctor, and she set me up with him, and as soon as like the state insurance kicked in, and I got my new PCP, and he told me at the last minute to get everything done. And, you know, and I just got turned up against the wall. The doctor is not going to treat me anymore because he can't legally no longer treat me anymore because I have the SSI and I have this new PCP and stuff
like
that.
Okay, so it was an insurance issue. It was insurance. Okay.
Exactly.
All right.
Exactly.
And then without glossing over this, so because of that issue, you said you're turning to other, or you turn to other things. And here's what I read into that: heroin.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I cannot walk at all. I'm in dire pain, like every day. Like, you know, just it's horrible. Like the cyst on my spine, and the doctor was just treated me with the worst disrespect, utterly.
Yeah.
And told me, well, I don't see any nerve damage, so I'm not going to send you to a neurosurgeon. And that's really ultimately was my goal, just to get into the neurosurgeon and go through rehab. And I never intended to be on this medication in the first place, you know?
Right, but we can't have you on heroin. We can't have you shooting up. Okay, we can't do
exactly.
that.
Exactly. So, exactly. And it's really sad.
Can I tell you to get another doctor? I mean, seriously, you don't want to go on the street and buy heroin. You can't do that, especially you don't know what I mean, there's so many things wrong with that. I understand the cause.
Exactly.
I understand the reason. But can you take your diagnostic films, whatever you got, and find another doctor, kiddo? I mean, because we can't have you.
I have talked to them, and the insurance company won't even work with me or anything. So I'm kind of stuck up against the wall. I have a really bad feeling that I'm kind of like on the do not treat list because of my beliefs and because of the things I look up online and because of all that I'm kind of sort of a targeted individual. I have people I've known in the past. My grandfather worked for NASA. My ex's dad was a U.S. biological chemical engineer for the United States Air Force. He worked for FEMA. He built all the FEMA computers, all the United States Postal Service computers. So I'm constantly being watched, and no one believes me, but I just feel like that I'm always under attack. Like, on a constant basis, like, you know, spiritually, it's invisible. And even my disease is so invisible that people can't see it. You know, they look at me and they just see this young girl, and I'm 41 years old, and they think I'm just fine and nothing's wrong with me, and they all dismiss me. And I've been dealing with this for over 30 years. I've had a lot of pain ever since I've had the last vaccination, which I found out was the MMR vaccination. So that's
okay.
What it
so
did
so
as far as.
I see.
Yeah.
Well,
that's the first.
Yeah. Okay, well, first of all, I want to say thank you so much for your kind words about our program, but I'm more concerned about, you know, getting you legitimate health care.
Exactly.
The other thing I want to say is please stop it. Stop the heroin. I understand that this is government, big government. I understand why. And I think the heroin epidemic, in my view, is because of the DEA. And I think it's a sin. I think it's a sin.
But, it is, and I have apologized to God.
But you can't be shooting up. So, what do we do? Would you promise me that you're gonna? I mean, tomorrow.
Yes, I can. It's the same number.
I mean, make a call. No. Make a call tomorrow to a doctor to a pain clinic, to a pain management clinic. Find a doctor, please.
Yes, absolutely.
And you know what?
You guys? Yes.
And also do me a favor, let us know via email, studio@hagmanandhagman.com. Just put in the subject line your name, your first name.
Okay.
And I'm going to know we want to know how you're doing.
Okay.
Please. I don't want to wake up. I don't want to wake up and hear that you're dead with a needle stuck in your arm.
That's exactly what I'm afraid of. You know, that's exactly what I'm afraid of. I mean, it's such a daily thing. It's so hard for me to like get around or do anything. I crawl to the bathroom, and it's just absurd the amount of pain that I'm in. And I didn't even want to do this in the first place. You know, it's frustrating for me, and I've had to deal with it for so long, so many years, and I'm finally at my wit's end. You know, and I think that's what did it to me. You know. But I love you guys very much, and I really look up to you guys. And
do us a favor,
kind words, and we'll keep you in our prayers.
And keep in touch with us because we can't afford to lose listeners, especially way. All right.
Thank you. God bless you.
Thanks
guys
for calling
much.
And sharing. You have a good night.
You're welcome. You too. God bless.
Before we get to the next caller, I just want to say, folks, see the war on drugs. It's a joke. The DEA is a joke. The doctors out there are scared to death. And here's what I want to do, okay? And I told this story before. Children and even some adults, stage 4 cancer, terminal, weeks, perhaps months, generous, away from death, certain death. Doctors come out, or the DEA comes out saying to the doctor, you can't really prescribe, you know, whatever opiate drug it might be to that terminally ill patient because they could get addicted. Okay, to the lawmakers that write those laws, and to the people who enforce those laws, to the doctors who agree with those laws, here's what I want to do. I want to tie a little morphine pill or whatever opiate would be needed to treat the pain from cancer that you, lawmaker, might be in, tie it to a fishing line, and make you crawl across the floor for it when you are in that pain, or your mother is in that pain, or your wife, because of terminal cancer, is in that pain. All right? That's what I think of the laws. Because the heroin epidemic is artificially created by the DEA. You have to understand the whole bigger picture. And I don't want to hear this crap. Well, there's an epidemic. It's hypocritical look, if there is a legitimate need, insert name of drug here, for that drug, for palliative care, should be given. Especially to those who are terminally ill, not as a, and please don't take it out of context what I'm saying. Not for recreational purposes, not for purposes of killing one's self or, you know, end of life reasons. But we have a problem in this country, and the problem are the lawmakers. The problem are the people in the prison industrial complex. The problem is much deeper. Every night you hear on the news, oh, heroin epidemic. Well, you've caused it. You caused it. And how dare you? How dare you? Just how dare you? All right, I'm done.
All right, let's go to Maria. Maria, thank you so much for holding. You're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Hi, guys. Well, that's one that I care about very intensely, what we just went through here. And, folks, I hope we're going to pray for this lady, and there are probably other listeners in similar situations who didn't call, because there's a tremendous amount of this kind of thing going on. And the Bible says that the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. They do it in the name of compassion, and the end result is cruel. It also says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Well, that means if people are not God-fearing, then they don't have any sense. They can't think straight. And that's exactly what we're seeing in practical terms here. We're seeing it in politics. We're seeing it in this kind of situation. And we're even seeing it with the doctors that are caving in and the preachers who won't preach about it. Same thing with Planned Parenthood. They keep exposing this terrible stuff, and we're not doing anything about it. It's because we're not a God-fearing nation. And the reason I called is to exhort people, we've got to pray for this nation. No man can fix this mess. Only God can fix this mess. And the other thing is, we know about the power of unity in prayer. When people are all praying together for the same thing, well, the occultists know about that. The witches and the Satanists know about that. Every month they have a day set aside to pray to curse President Trump and everybody who's supporting him in any way. It's a day, it's 2 days before the waning, before the new moon. So it's the waning moon. If you see when the new moon is on the calendar, look 2 days before that, and that's when they did it. This month it was on the 24th, 2 days ago. Now, if the witches are doing it publicly, you know the Satanists are doing it, and the voodoo people and everybody else, they're all working for the same boss. He's going to inspire them all to do it and get on the train and make a gung-ho united effort here. And the prayer that they put out, the curse they put out publicly was just to bind him. But you know there are people that are praying killing curses and curses to drive him, try to drive him mad and curses to try to influence people who influence him and all kinds of stuff like that. They do that kind of thing. I've got a friend who's a former Satanist before he became a Christian, and I read books by people who, you know, had to do research and things and got involved in it and got out of it. So they're very practical and targeted. Well, we need to be targeted in praying for protection for President Trump. The other thing is the White House. Bill and Hillary Clinton were both into voodoo. Hillary's a witch. Doc Marquis says that Bill is also a witch, that they're Illuminati witches and Hillary's is a higher level than Bill is. But I know for sure they're both in voodoo, because I did a lot of research on that, including Haitian publications that are online. And then Larry Nichols said that Hillary was going to California every month or two to participate in witchcraft stuff. Well, that must have been a pretty big shot thing for her to go all the way to California. You know there were local ones. So she must, that's an indication things were pretty high up. So would you want to live in a house where that had been going on for 8 years? And then you got the Obama's in there, and his wife's mother is into Santeria, which is very similar to voodoo, and she had a practitioner over there. And Hillary used to conjure up what she said was the spirit of Eleanor Roosevelt to talk to, had a New Age guru come in to do that. The woman was a witch. According to Doc Marquis, she was a witch. And so does that, what do you think they were conjuring up? Sure, it wasn't Eleanor Roosevelt. Would you want to live in a house like that? They're living there at night and working there during the day, and everybody who's working with him is in that place. We need to chase those demons out of there. And yes, he's got some pastors behind him, but these days how many people even understand that stuff? So we need to take spiritual warfare seriously and be serious about praying for President Trump. And wherever he is with God, that God will get him closer to him and give him understanding. The Christian pastors behind him may be compromised. Most pastors are these days. They've gotten so confused by all the brainwashing out there in the seminaries and the magazines for pastors. Everything's so watered down. And, you know, if you got a guy like Charles Spurgeon of the old school and brought him up today and they saw what calls itself Christianity these days, they'd throw up. Most of it, there are some good, solid, God-fearing men. Well, for instance, Russ Dizdar. We get some wonderful ones on the show here, but these people are few and far between. They're rare jewels. Most of what's out there is such a wishy-washy mess. that we have got to be on fire. We got to be lights. We got to be so different that we don't fit in with the world. That people say, what's different about you? How come you're not freaking out like everybody else? How come you can love that person when everybody else is scared of him or hates him? You know? We need to be visibly different. And we got to be tuned into God all the time. And but we've got to be serious about praying. It's so easy to get tired of it, and we just want to, you know. And there's this thing, Dave Hodges calls it cognitive dissonance. You know it, but you don't know it. You know it, but it's too hard to think it's really, really, really true. Well, guess what, folks? It really is. And we better get spiritually and emotionally prepared now for what's coming, because we're going to have to endure to the end. And some of us are going to have to love not our lives unto the death. Some of us are going to wind up getting killed for our faith, just like they are in the Middle East. We're not exceptions. We're not immune to that. The Germans never expected to wind up where they did. We're not immune. They were intelligent, educated, hardworking people. We're not immune.
Mm-hmm.
So we just need to...
No, you're right. I mean, we're already seeing murders for the faith right here in the United States. I mean, it's happening already. By the way, folks, this is Maria Kanis, author of Prepare for Persecution. Go to Amazon, get yourself a copy, and a number of other books, but Prepare for Persecution is so relevant today. Amazon, Maria Kanis, Prepare for Persecution.
That's the main one. And if I had a way to put it as a free download on a website, I'd do it. But I can't do that because a publisher's done another edition of it, and I was doing well to be able to keep mine going. Mine I keep adding to and revising it and expanding it. So it's got a lot more in it. But I wish I could. I carry it around with me. I give them away all the time when I run into Christians, or when they bring packages to the door or something. You know, are you a Christian?
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, we've got to get prepared. I mean, all the other prepping in the world won't do a bit of good if we cave in and deny Jesus. Jesus said, "If you acknowledge me before men, I'll acknowledge you before my Father in heaven. If you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father in heaven." And how many churches ever preach about that kind of thing these days? We have got to be faithful no matter what it costs. That's the bottom line. That's got to be the one thing we will not compromise on. So, anyway,
no, you're right.
God bless
you're
you
right.
guys.
Yeah. Well, thank you. And thanks for calling in. Thank you for all you're doing. All right.
Maria, you have a good night. Thank you.
You too.
Folks, I expect y'all to go out and buy Prayer for Persecution. Is that presumptuous to say? Seriously, it's good. It's a great book. It's a great spiritual tuner-upper. A lot of inspiration in that book as well. So, Prepare for Persecution, Maria Kanis. I
want to thank everybody for calling in tonight. I want to hit this news story. It's kind of on topic of what we were talking about. The mainstream media is going to finally expose the CIA drug trafficking conspiracy in an explosive History Channel series.
Right. That
last week.
Oh
there was
boy.
A few,
no, be but still week, my heart.
There was a few. I think it was on April 20th, because of 420. It's like a marijuana holiday. The History Channel did. They showed a number of documentaries dealing with cocaine to opium. To the history of the war on drugs in America. Well, apparently, they're coming out with, as this headline says, an explosive new series on drugs, and it starts out by talking about Richard Nixon and the war on drugs and how in 1973, when the Drug Enforcement Administration was established and the war on drugs was established, how it has created a drug war in America and a drug problem in America that is worse now than it has ever been in the past. And they go on to say that it's no coincidence. But this article says that the corrupt and violent drug war has gotten so bad that it's getting pushed into the mainstream. In an extremely rare move, Annie Network, a subsidiary of ABC and the Disney Company, will be addressing the government's role in the drug war in a four-part documentary series on the History Channel, titled America's War on Drugs. And it's going to delve into items that up until recently were considered conspiracy theory, one being the CIA's drug dealing from their creation of crack cocaine and the dissemination of crack cocaine to in the 80s to today, the bringing in the heroin from Afghanistan and allowing drug traffickers and criminal elements to operate in exchange for support against foreign enemies. Again, it's going to be a four-part series that deals
with... Yeah, I can't wait. It's going to be all-inclusive, and it's going to name names. I'm just so excited. I'll be still my heart for crying out loud. Look, here's the thing. The rat lines all across North Africa, from the Middle East, Afghanistan, opium, you know, all this illicit drugs, the Mexican drug cartels coming in. You know what, folks? If people aren't getting this by now, they ain't never going to get it. And I'm so tired of these right-wing conservatives. Most of them are conservatives who have blinders on, who think that their solution lies in a specific candidate. For crying out loud, they're part of this industry. They're part of this drug trafficking. And believe me, there's no television show mainstream who is going to expose the drug trafficking, the human trafficking, the gun running, all of this. It's just not going to happen. And especially when you got Eric Holder running out there, running around still, you know, without punishment for, being in contempt of Congress on the Fast and Furious issue. I mean, how in that world can we... Somebody explain to me how Eric Holder can still walk around, former Attorney General, being found in contempt on Fast and Furious and not even get... And be allowed to walk. Explain that to me. See, now, some people say, well, what, you know, why keep talking about it? Because it's not going to make a difference. No, we have to keep talking about it. We must keep talking about it. Okay. We must not accept, in my view, we must not accept anything less than the truth. And we must keep the truth in front of everyone. And you know what? If 10,000, 100,000, a million people, if they know the truth, but it's just not pushing the button to action, then maybe that next person will do it. Maybe that 10th person that you convert will do it. Maybe the 100th person that you convert with the truth will do it. But you know, you can't stop. The History Channel, as far as I'm concerned, okay, when they break away from showing Hitler, and, you know, dying in a bunker, this stuff, come on. I get it. But look, the truth needs to be told. Big business, rat lines. And this is where organ harvesting comes in. This is where sex trafficking comes in. This is where drug running comes in. And you know, the wars, isn't that funny? Not funny, ha-ha funny, but ironic. Isn't it a little bit ironic that here we have the military-industrial complex pushing for wars in not just the Middle East, but now North Korea, anywhere where it's feasible. Start a war, make money. Same domestically, okay? The domestic template is the same as the geopolitical template overseas. Let's create felons out of everyone so we can jail everybody possible. Whether it's a traffic ticket or drug violation, let's jail them. And we can make money on going in and coming out. Simple as that. But anyway, yeah, so that's my screed for now. Are we done yet? Yeah, it's been a long day. It really has. I might as well mention this too. We did I did a interview today with Tom Juby. He's an author about Swiss Air Flight 111. And I don't know how many people remember this. It was September 2nd, I believe, 1998. Was it September 2nd? Let me check my notes on the computer here. It was, September 2nd, 1998, killing 229 people. Tom wrote a book, a very interesting book, about this particular crash. It details the corruption. It details all sorts of things. This is a couple of years after TWA Flight 800 and a couple of years, 2 years before 9/11, Swiss Air Flight 111. If you haven't heard about it, this is from New York, is going to Geneva, Switzerland, crashed just off Nova Scotia. Tom was part of the RCMP, the forensic team. Thomas Juby, the author of Twice as Far, that's the name of the book, Twice as Far, Swiss Air 111, I would urge everyone to order that on Amazon. That interview is going to be posted tomorrow. That is a great interview. It's relevant to today because the same players, the same template as we've seen throughout the time period from the mid-1990s through 9/11 and into today are part of this. And this is from a Canadian point of view. So, yeah. Thomas Juby, author, Twice as Far. It's coming out tomorrow, the interview.
And tomorrow we have a great show planned for you. You said Steve Quayle and Tom Horn are going
to
be on tomorrow?
Absolutely. I talked to Steve today. He's all fired up, ready to go. Steve and Tom are coming out with a new book. My goodness, they write books more than, I don't know how they do it.
Me neither.
But anyway, in fact, Steve is very excited about this.
And then they're going to talk about the book?
Yes, among other things. Well, I mean, not just about the book, but about all of the factors involved in the book itself, but the factors surrounding that. Tom is just a tremendous man, knowledgeable man, but that's going to be a good show.
I want to hear his take on North Korea and the geopolitical situations that are going on, not only in North Korea, but, with China, with what's going on in Syria. He always has a very insightful take on these events. So it will be, it should be a great show. And then there'll be a strong closeout to the week. And then, again, folks, if you haven't registered, Awaken to the Shaken Conference is only 1 week from this coming weekend, like 10 days away. And it's free to register, free to attend. You just have to go to Paul Begley Prophecy, or just click on the link, Awaken to the Shaken, on HagmanReport.com or on PaulBegleyProphecy.com.
Free to register. My security detail will be there. So,
yeah, and we're expecting a lot of people. Russ Dizdar is going to be speaking. John Robertson is going to be speaking. My father, myself, and Pastor Paul Begley. It's a two-day event. All you got to do is pay for your travel and your stay. And attend the conference. Can't beat the
free. And I'll shake down as many people as possible.
Absolutely.
See,
it's free to attend, but you are more than welcome to pay us.
Pay us directly. Just bring.
You can pay my dad in compliments.
No. Greenbacks. What are those? People say, what are greenbacks? I know. Yeah, folks, fantastic program. John Robertson did a great job with the guest and Joe, and it was a great program. Brandon House, of course, about the situation in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Interesting. Keep our eyes on that. There's a war against Christians. There's a war against Jews. There was a war against political conservatives. We need to gather together to fight. And anyone who doesn't want to fight, get out of the way. We'll do it for you. Until next time, stay safe. God bless.
Yeah, have a good night, everyone.